Grace, mercy, and peace be yours, our Father, and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. He's got my eyes. He's got your lips. He's got my hands. He has your feet. What are these statements? These are phrases overheard at the Roberts household over the last 5 weeks, probably also at the Froylands, the Parkers, everyone else who had a baby recently. We talk about the inheritance of traits from our parents. Nothing evil about talking about the inheritance that we receive from our parents early on in life. Nothing evil about that. Maybe pride, maybe jealousy, maybe a little bit. But beyond that, there's really no evil. However, at the other end of life, talking about the inheritance that sometimes occurs then, there is temptation that leads to evil. First, we don't believe that having an inheritance is evil, whether money or mutual fund, artwork or airplane. Nothing inherently evil about passing on something to our children. Inheritance is not evil. But because of man's love for money, because we are evil, oftentimes we'll turn that good and fine gift into something of a temptation, turn it into an evil, and we sin. The first evil we hear about in the text today from the gospel lesson, Luke chapter 12, we hear Jesus say, "Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness.'" Coveting is the first evil in our text. When parents die and leave an inheritance for their children, brothers and sisters are tempted to divide it unfairly, and then they turn and get bitter towards each other, and they tend to not talk to each other anymore and not get together for fellowship anymore because they believe their brother has cheated them, has been unfair, hoarding the inheritance. Not fair at all. Certainly those who do cheat their family ought to repent and to be more equitable, be more fair, make things right. But God's word also warns those who are being cheated to not fall into another temptation, that of coveting, followed by the withholding of love for our family. Because the love of money becomes an idol for all people and determines how we treat one another. The heart of the matter, Jesus says in the text, is this: one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Let me repeat it again. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. For the one who cheats, he should remember and would be better off to share the inheritance equally, equitably, not caring about the amount, but preserving the greater thing, which is love in the family. For the one who covets his brother's inheritance, he may be right to feel cheated. It's called righteous anger. But even so, we are called not to covet, not to seek revenge, not to be standoffish and bitter towards our family. And oftentimes, we are to suffer for doing right, which means doing nothing at all in this case. Simply casting our cares in confessing our sin of coveting before the Lord, who knows all things. After all, your future does not depend on your earthly father's inheritance. Will not the Lord, our heavenly Father, provide for us in this life? Does he not care for you more than many sparrows? Even if all were stripped away, would you, like Job, or like St. Paul, or Jesus, would you still trust God, our Heavenly Father? Rather than devour one another, family no less, and fall into the devil's trap, headlong for hell, we should be content with what we have already been given. Just as we sing in church sometimes, "What is this world to me, with all its vaunted pleasure?" When you and you alone, Lord Jesus, are my treasure. I have a higher good, content with it I'll be. My Jesus is my wealth. What is this world to me? Jesus' love, and Jesus' love only, allows me to continue loving my cheating brother and sister. We know from the text that Jesus says that he's not a judge or an arbitrator over legal matters. He's not an arbitrator, he's an advocate with the Father for my sin and for my brother's sin who cheats against me. We have an advocate with the Father. And your contentment, your doing nothing and just doing right and suffering, can oftentimes turn your brother to repent and to trust God and to seek his forgiveness and make things right. But if not, and oftentimes it is not, then what is this world to me? You still win. Why? Because we have a greater inheritance. And we should always remember that there is a greater inheritance with God. When we deserve nothing but death, Jesus died that we might inherit eternal life and salvation. In this world, inheritances come, inheritances go, but in Christ, the inheritance is eternal. It's changeless. It's beyond measure. Nothing worth comparing. Christ died. Christ rose. We died with him. We shall rise with him and inherit the kingdom of heaven. This is the inheritance that no one can take away. Not brother, not sister, not Jacob, not Esau, not even the devil himself, who is already defeated. Our inheritance with God is sure. The second evil in our text today is not for children, but for the parents who build up a great inheritance to give to their children. This time it has to do with the parents, not the children, about that inheritance on earth while not being rich towards God. Let me read you the text. This was what we call the bigger barns syndrome. Jesus says in the text, Jesus said to them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So this is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." We learn here as parents, maybe grandparents, workers of every kind, to be content with the barns that we have now. To fill those up, for it's probably enough for us, and then to turn and to see who else might benefit from the abundance that God has given to us. For when we die, and we all will, well, we want to tell God, "Look how much I saved." Or do we want to tell God, "Look how much I helped salvage from eternal destruction. Look how much your love prompted me to love others and to do what was right and to help and maybe tell them about the love of God who gave everything that we might have eternal life and have salvation, the greatest treasure in heaven, Christ Jesus himself." Jesus calls those who store up things for themselves and then sit back on earth and eat, drink, and be merry, he calls them fools. So it is for those who lay up treasure for themselves and are not rich toward God. Now, it doesn't say inheritance or having riches is bad. David was rich. Abraham was rich. That's not evil. But not being rich towards God is an evil. Better to be rich in the things of God than rich in the things of the world. Maybe a good question for all of us today to consider is, which and what places are we richer? Are we richer in the things of God, the wisdom, the knowledge, the love of God? Or are we richer in our wallet? Well, how is it then that we get rich toward God? Well, it takes an investment called time. Time in church here where we receive the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Time at home searching the scriptures, talking with family about God and learning from God's word, studying the greatest treasure of all, which is God's precious word. And you'll know you are rich by the dividends, the fruits of the investment, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Be rich in the fruits of the Spirit, and God will bless you with even more. For the one who has, more will be given. But the one who buries his treasure and doesn't let it grow with investment, even what he has will be taken away. You know, in the investments of the world, all those investment makers, they say that the more money you have, the more it grows. In fact, your money works for you. Well, if that's true with earthly mammon, think how much more God's investment in us grows by itself and works for you. And all you have received a great investment in Christ Jesus. All of you have been baptized into Christ, have received the treasure, the greatest investment of all, which is God. So let that investment grow. Regardless of how much money you spend, save, or pass on to others, remember, we are poor beggars by nature, yet we are rich in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us above all be rich toward God. Our Heavenly Father will divide His inheritance justly and generously. What is this world to me? Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus, the one who gives us the great inheritance. Amen.